We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I love what Rousseau is able to bring to the table. This is somebody who, when I was scouting him at Miami, I was just blown away by what he was able to do as a nose tackle, as a three technique, as a five technique. I mean, he was just able to do so many different things, and it feels as though the Bills give him that freedom to be able to do that week in and week out, and he's such a chess piece for their defensive line. Obviously, Matt Milano, when he is healthy, he is fantastic. Christian Benford has been excellent for them. It's that versatility of what Greg Rousseau brings to that defensive line that I love so much about what they can do and how flexible they can be every single week.
Trevor Sikkema, a guest earlier today on WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Tampa Bay Trey. We were talking about the Bucs.
All right.
Check the box. Two segments in a row. Tampa Bay.
It's Tampa Bay Day.
It's Tampa Bay Trey. It's Tampa Bay Day. I want to get to the point a little bit about what he was talking about there in a minute. Here's Michael with us. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling.
Guys, the other day, I don't know if it was you guys or somebody on the show was talking about Cole Bishop. I remember a few years back, Sal talking to Micah Hyde, saying that it took Hyde about 2 to 3 years to really understand McDermott's defense from the safety position. I don't know if Bishop played that style in college or that system in college, but I'm really worried about the back end. I just want to know what you guys think.
Well, there's a lot riding on him coming through, I think. I was thinking about this yesterday, and we did with Sal, I think, on yesterday's show, in fact, talk about Bishop and his importance, right? Having someone you can depend on the deep half of the field that the number two corner is playing, whoever that is, a rookie or Tre'Davious White for a second time around. I think a lot is riding on Bishop. We had the luxury of sort of just having two guys back there that seemed, if not actually were, interchangeable and were very good even on their worst days, excellent on their best. Like, there was just such a security to have, okay, that's all taken care of, right? And, you know, Hyde gets hurt, Poyer eventually ages out, and you're sort of shuffling the deck here, and Bishop is a second-round pick from last year. Like, they will want that. They should want that to hit. He should become like an above average starter. And, you know, he didn't play a lot last year and there were, you know, injuries early, but there's a lot riding on him. I can't tell you how to handicap it. I mean, I liked the player a lot coming out of college. His athletic profile, you know, read like, okay, I get why they're drafting this player. I frankly was kind of let down that he didn't break through more than he did last year. But he's a key guy, I think, moving into the 25 season.
Should it be a top 10 defense? Last 7 years, what do you want? Points or yards? What's better? I think yards is better. Okay?
Okay.
From last year back, 17th, 9th, 6th, 1st, 14th, 3rd, 2nd. 26th in the drought-breaking year, 2017. Should it be a top 10 defense? Who's the most important guy? I think Milano maybe is the most important guy, but he's a linebacker, so maybe I shouldn't pick him. I mean, the second corner is big.
Yep.
Pass rush, I don't know. I think is what it is. I mean, Joey Bosa, they've added some names.
Hoyt, yeah.
And those are two of the guys are going to be out for 6 games. Bosa might be two.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't – and the draft – but
it should I want to say the resources that they have poured into it this offseason, I think it would be tough to justify not being a top 10 defense.
Absolutely.
Not you know, not the best, not leading the league in sacks or something, but you should be above average, maybe even significantly above average. if you are pouring your top four draft picks into it and your free agent signings and everything they did here, including Bosa and the guys that are going to be suspended, like they really went to work on it. And it is not the first time they've done that. Maybe this was the most extreme using those top four picks, but two top picks used on defensive ends, another one used on a defensive end, a defensive tackle. Like they have devoted energy with big resources to the defense and the defensive line specifically, and they've done it again here. Yeah, I think it kind of has to pay off. You better be good back there, or up there, all around there, just on that side of the ball.
You know, a lot of times, it doesn't have to be like this. I want to say it's just how I think. The conversations, the hypotheticals we dive into are based on the negative. They're based on what if this goes wrong, or what if, you know, because what really is it? I say this in my own defense toward that. I think this is how the teams would do it, because that's what I think should be the case.
You're trying to troubleshoot potential problems. Yeah.
Right. Like, what if this guy gets hurt? What if this happens? Are we prepared for it? You know, that kind of stuff. I just think this year, maybe this isn't different. Maybe it is. But McDermott and Bean, like, if the Bills have an off year, which they have not had here since this all started, if they have really, you know, right, like they've won a playoff game every one of these seasons, they've won the division 5 years in a row, it's been a little bit up and down, but mostly like they've just rolled for 5 years. I just wonder if McDermott or Bean can afford a down year. Like, what will this sound like if their defense isn't really good? Like, isn't the whole point with McDermott that they can have fluctuation on the roster, but I mean, the results are great overall all these years, like I just ran through, that he's supposed to make that up. He's supposed to be able to, because that's why you have him.
Coach up the guy. Yeah, right.
So that's, I don't know. Like, if that doesn't happen, there are a lot of changes. And there's a rookie at corner. And the last time they did that, it went terribly with Elam. I mean, Benford happened. But, you know, like, it's not like it has to, it's not a lock or anything that Harrison is, you know, not a liability. I just wonder what we're going to do about it. Like, Bean too, especially, not that everybody would care about this, but his stuff after the draft.
Well, yeah.
In here was like very almost weird. Like, what? How are you so easily rankled by this? He just got sick of hearing it, I guess. And, you know, last year they didn't really get open. It wasn't like people said, actually, no, the Bills have great receivers. No, it's that Allen made it work. And Cook and Brady, like, they made it work. Because nobody, including Coleman, nobody in that group really was that good. So the team was good. I just wonder how sort of primed fans might be when, in terms of McDermott or Bean at this point. Because Allen is so well established as a star, and he's not going to get blamed, and he probably won't deserve to be.
I think it'll be really interesting to watch how it unfolds. And, like, I don't want to get too far down the road of, like, you know, a season that goes this way or that way. Overall, I think right now, way more fans are ready to come for McDermott almost all the time. Just because of, I mean, it's still that game from January of 21 that I'm not going to say, because when I saw it referenced on Twitter today, it made me mad. And I think I do that to people every day. I say those words and people ride in their cars go, dude!
22.
And I did. Okay, sorry. Yeah, right. The 21 season. Thank you.
Right, sure.
All right.
Because I wanted you to spend more time on it.
Yeah, right.
Us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
involved.
That leaves, like, that is still, like, until he carries this team to a championship, that is going to be McDermott's defining moment for a lot of fans. And so that I think is established. But this year, I think while fans are certainly on the Bean bandwagon by and large, because they loved it when he called in and told the radio guys to shut up and stuff it and all this stuff, like, that works for fans to an extent. But then you have to have the results to back that up again. Like, you're bragging about your results from last year, and that's fine. You've got scoreboard. Okay. If the defensive picks don't work out, if Joey Bosa can't stay on the field, if they really miss the guys during the 6 weeks, or whatever, like, it just doesn't come together, and the defense is like just barely scraping by, I would think a lot of fans are going to remember Bean and how aggressive he was after the draft, and then turn it back on him. So I think, and it's the first time that I feel like that might be, fans are always going to be there with this pick or that pick, Elam, whatever, right? But by and large, I think Bean has had a much smoother ride than McDermott, because McDermott's at the flashpoint of these games that end seasons. And Bean is in a press box, and his work is done, at a different time of the year. He's mostly watching those games happen, just like we are. I think if any of those defensive guys don't come through, sure, some fans who are predisposed to the McDermott opinion that he's hurting them more than helping them can still always stand there.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
But I think a lot of fans will think about Bean for the first time.
Here's Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to add on to what you guys were saying. There really is no excuse, barring the defense being totally wrecked by injuries like they were 2 years ago. There really is no excuse for a total defensive collapse against the Chiefs in the playoffs, because they like you said, they put in so many resources, be it free agent signings or the draft this year. Like, there is no reason, and I'm part of the McDermott needs to go bandwagon. I felt this way since the 13-second game. But I've been thinking a lot about Bean lately, because I just think that some of the draft misses he's had, like the big one is Ed Oliver, the cornerback.
Elam, yeah, I just mentioned it.
Yeah, Elam. And then I did just mention Ed Oliver. I think at the time that looked like a solid pick, but like with hindsight, Brian Burns went within the next five picks. That would be a great piece for us to have, because I think that star or superstar edge rusher is really what would put this defense over the map, and it's what they've been trying. They've been trying to find one. I'll give them credit since they got here, but they haven't been able to do it. They had it for about 11 weeks with Von Miller, and they blew out his knee.
Yeah,
but that's the missing piece in my opinion.
Thanks, Joe. Good points. Here's John next. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in. I heard you talking about the defense. And then I heard you talking about Bean, and that kind of got me on a thought here. I like Bean. I really do. I think he's a great, great GM. I think sometimes that he's so likable, and he speaks very well, that sometimes some of his flaws get kind of pushed under the rug, I guess you would say. But you look at the defensive tackles, I don't understand why we took two this year, and then we took one last year in the third round, I think it was.
Yep.
I don't understand that, because, I mean, we have Oliver, and you look at how we played against the Ravens in the playoffs. We kept Lamar in check. We kept Henry in check. So to draft defensive tackles like that, I just kind of want to get your thoughts and see what you thought on that.
I think it was their reaction to seeing what Philadelphia did to Kansas City in the Super Bowl to some extent. And they've got Daquan Jones, who's aging out. I mean, he's still listed as a starter on the depth chart. We'll see what the summer brings. But they needed to supplement that position. I think the big one I'm wondering about, I like both of the guys this year that they picked, Sanders in the second round and Deion Walker in the fourth round. Dwayne Carter is the mystery to me. Like, that's a third-round pick from last year, and it was going all right earlier in the year, and then it was a little like Coleman, like injury, and then he just was a ghost. And I wonder about whether they've got too many bodies for him to ultimately make it out of camp. I mean, with the six-game suspensions to one of the tackles, that probably eases that number crunch, but eventually that's going to be a problem, I think.
Thank you, John. 803-0550 if you want to be next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll talk to John Harris about the Texans coming up in 20 minutes. This is WGR.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.